Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and I really, really appreciate the Thessalonian church in more ways than one. I think the first problem, the first challenge was the fact that the Thessalonian church did not have a lot of pastoral teaching and guidance from Paul because he was only there for about a month. But the reality of faith is such that even if you don't have that, it will grow. This is a challenge that I had to ask myself whether I believe in that. In all the missions work, you can only be there for a short while, a week. Maybe more often, go there once a month. I used to go to missions work every month. Sometimes, it's really challenging then. But no matter how many times you go, you've got to realize that you can do so much and no more. But India grew. And I think that India's growth, for that matter, for 25 years, is not because of my work. I may be there to encourage, very often to correct, but it's really God's work, isn't it? Listen, you think about this. You know, and 25 years ago, who would have believed that it was possible? And so it is correct that we say we give thanks to God always. Secondly, the people who are there, they work hard. They even send me the menu. Can I approve the menu? Can you tell me what food you're going to have? Would I approve of it? And I said, of course, go ahead and do it and have a wonderful time of worship, of learning. But it is not going to be just one day of worship. It's like a camp. Same pattern, morning Bible study, evening meetings, that's it, and a few extra things, but it's really like a camp. That's the way they celebrate. And it's so good to be able to do this. So we can say, we give thanks to God. May we always, always bear in mind as how we should pray to give thanks to God always. That's 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, be encouraged. Here we go. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Good. Well, this evening we are going to take up a challenging word, a challenging study. And if you were to understand this challenge in 1 Timothy 4, in the light of the entire epistle of 1 Timothy, you probably understand it a little bit better. What is the work of the church? What is the work of people who go and go to church and say, we want to serve the Lord? Okay? And you say, well, of course, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul had to tell Timothy, you must remember there are false teachers out there and you got to go and do it. You know, Jonathan sent me a video about this idea of the blood moon. So blood moon, 2015 blood moon. Next year will be a calamitous year. And everybody is worried, concerned. What will next year be? Because they predict that next year is going to be a year of judgment. Well, why wait till next year? Every year is a year of judgment. Look at the world that's gone crazy. Judgment. You see, they couch it in such a way that it is obvious. Sooner or later, something's going to happen, right? You cannot go killing people all over the place and do this and do that. So then they try to piece things together. 1948, that's when Israel, blood moon time, worked with it, and then they became a nation. 1967, Jerusalem was conquered. All these are blood moons too. Wait a minute. You said judgment was judgment? Well, how come they got blessed? See, if you look very carefully at all these teachings out there, they're just short of saying Jesus is coming back next year. And so you look at it, and so you see, well, next year, 2015, it will not happen again for another 400 years. So that's how they calculate. So therefore, it must be very, very important. So everybody is now waiting. Is it going to happen? What will next year be like? And you have people who are scared. You have people who are concerned. And it is really right pickings on things like that. I ask myself, how do we understand this whole idea of judgment? Seriously. Oh, it's going to be a blessing to the Lord's people and judgment to the rest of the world and so on and so forth. Really? Read Zechariah. You have a totally different picture. See, a lot of times we don't know the scriptures. And so there are all these challenges so what do we do? And they would tell you that, this Hebrew word means this. And in other words, all the events of the world are tied in to the feasts of the Lord. So every feast represents something. To the exact hour, it represents something. And you really wonder whether that is in fact true. They make all kinds of statements. And so you really have to battle false teachers. And they're coming very, very much cleverer, with designs and putting blood moons and so on and so forth. They're coming very, very much more skilled. They use all kinds of PowerPoints to bring home the thing here. Next year, the blood moon is going to be closest to the moon, so close it's never been this close before. Not in the 1600, not in the 1700 and all that. How do you know? 1600, where they got such astronomy studies? And yet people were sitting on there, well, that's good, that's true. And you just really feel sad that it should be this way. But there are false teachers all everywhere. Okay, there was one task. 1 Timothy 3, Paul tells Timothy, here's another task, appoint leaders. First, you've got to find them. Appointing part is the easy part. Finding them is the hard part. Well, those are tasks. In 1 Timothy 2, he's got to exhort people to pray. 1 Timothy 1:18 to 20, this is a spiritual warfare. You must engage in spiritual warfare well. 1 Timothy 4, instruct the brethren. Okay? To me, these things are challenging tasks, difficult tasks, and you need to find the wisdom, the strength, and everything else. But yet, they can be done. Activities, right? We can be done. But what is the most difficult, the most challenging task for any servant of God to do? It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to the end of the chapter. The encouragement part is not a problem. The teaching part is not a problem. The greatest difficulty, especially when you are younger, is Paul tells Timothy, you must be an example. So being an example is not an option. It is a command. It is an imperative. Be an example. Why is it so difficult? Okay? Now, let's take a look at why it is so difficult. Those of you who are using your Greek text, you might realize that we have a series of prepositional phrases. And they're all using what we call the end with the dative series. Okay, you look very, very carefully. And this is what we call a locative use of the dative, meaning to say, within these spheres, you must be an example. Can you imagine the spheres? So there are spheres You know, many people think of an example. Well, let me be example in some ways. No, there were very, very specific situations. How do you know they're specific? Because of a series of end with a dative. That's how specific it can get. It wasn't lumped together. It was separated, phrase by phrase. Each one with a idea. In this location, do this. In this, in this, in this, in this. And everyone was a sphere, and he has to be an example of the believers, of the ones believing in these areas. You see, many of us are not conscious that going to church, being a Christian, involves being an example. It is not hard for a person to say, okay, even Wei Chen, well, go and learn how to speak. Not a problem. Do your work well. Not a problem. Your biggest problem is being an example. You teach well, but you're a poor example and you're sunk. You could be talented, you're not an example and you're still sunk. The word example is what we call a type. You know, it's basically a type. And this is what we are looking at. So the challenge is there. Let us say you battle false teachers. But then your problem is you don't know how to do it properly as you should because you're a poor example. You failed. You want to appoint leaders, but you yourself are not able to lead well. But you're sunk again. The key is this word here, be an example of the believers. This is so absolutely important. Where is the sphere? Where is the first sphere? And we read in word. Right? So we take a look at this thing here, and Paul tells Timothy, in this particular sphere, you are to be an example in word. And the word here, you know, when we look at this whole idea of in word, and we think in terms of what it means, it is really can be quite challenging. Because this word here is actually involving the idea of the word as in logos. It's not an easy thing to be an example with reference to. It's more than just speaking. It's really much more than just speaking. And yet so many people are not careful about how they speak. It's the smallest, the least of problems. Are you an example in the word? Okay, think about this. In another sphere, in your conduct. How are you in your conduct? And it is not an easy thing to always have to live in a glass house, carefulness about your conduct. You see? I mean, in church we look at conduct all the time. And you have to be an example in conduct, every sense of the word. Okay? So that even if I want to perm my hair, I have to think about it. Would that be an example in conduct? Nothing wrong with it in a personal statement. But I have to ask myself, do I want to do that? I mean, people go and shave their head so that they can make this cancer awareness. I ask myself, would I do that? Now I have to ask myself, seriously, am I an example conduct here? Or is it an activity? Okay? Think about this very carefully, what it means for us to be an example. And to be an example in love. Oh boy, right? There are lots of people not very easy to love. Seriously, I mean, sometimes you just think about it and you just think, okay, now what shall I do? It's very, very challenging to do any work with a sense of love. It's going over the thing again and again, but let's do it anyway. So you got to be very conscious. Am I an example in love here? Okay? You plan 42 years or 42 Christmas. Do it in love, please. Oh, yeah. Youth conference. How many messages? Do it in love, please. And I have to add to my own workload, write poems. Sometimes I ask myself whether I ought to examine my head, you know. You know, they examine the wrong thing, you know. They actually should x-ray the head inside. What's wrong with you? Or what's right with me? So every week I have to write children's poems. Oh, it's not always easy. So I'm going to try and work at it. Because that was a little commitment I made to myself, to little Maddie. One of these days, this is going to be dedicated to the two little grandchildren and to all the children in our church. And you do it in love. You don't know what it is to look at. You know what love is? I recently discovered what love is. It is when you're very, very tired, you know, and you really need the sleep. You need that rest. And you see 50 emails. And you have to answer. So now I tell people, give me space. So then you answer it. And you're so happy you have answered them all. And tomorrow morning, you sleep at night, find, I've got it all done. And tomorrow morning, it's there again, they're there. Oh dear, what shall we do? And they're not bad email, you know, they're not spam thing. They're important things. There are people who tell me, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord. How shall I serve? And they're important things. A person, you know, Li Pin wrote to me, and good thing, Alina Chang, did you receive my mom's email? And I said, nope. Then Li Pin said, I should have realized it didn't get through. This was my first time using the phone email anyway. So then she got through. Then I replied her and I said, you always reply very, very quickly. I wish it can always be said. But you see, it's not a swiftness, it's love. Am I writing it with a heart of love or not? It is easy to dread it. No? Not again. You know, and then I had to look at all the Indian ones. And for example, sometimes they write very, very, very strange English. You know, very hard. And you have to say, you know, I was electrified. Electrified. Means what? Oh, we just had electricity. Okay, so I have to, I have to explain very, very carefully. Sometimes, you see, I make them write reports. So reports come. Then the report is, I got up what time, I bathed, I had breakfast. So I explain. I say, please distinguish your personal. I do not want to know what time you bathe. I really don't. Please don't tell me things like that. I really am not interested. Tell me what you did. See, the moment you tell me what you did, and then the person will write again. Another long thing. But you ask for it. If you don't get reports, it's not good. If you do get reports, that's the email waiting for you. And you know, you look at the time. And sometimes it is 2 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes it is very, very early in the morning, and your heart goes out to them. They really are trying. They're trying so hard. Be an example in love. It makes sense to you? This is the difficulty. This is the challenge. It's important. Now, We have to look at it further. And then in faith, oh, this is such a challenge in faith. Okay, now we take a look at what it means to be in faith. A lot of times people don't know what it means to have to carry. You know, you just tell, I keep on asking the Lord this year, and I say, Lord, you're going to teach me how to pray. What? 42 years, you still haven't learned how to pray? Yeah, I haven't. You want to teach me? How do you pray when somebody's life is in danger and a person is touch and go, will die or live? How do you pray? Tell me. 42 years, from your perspective, is a wonderful year. And I'm glad, 41 years, 40 plus one. And I said for myself that I will not look at it as 41, but 40 plus one. But it is 41. It's a tinge of sadness. Because it is 41. And I've lived out 41 years. And I don't have 41 more years to go. You see? Of faith. Everybody expects you to have faith, to be strong. Nobody expects you to be weak. People expect me to be, tomorrow, today I nearly died. Tomorrow I'll be up again. Just like that. Because this is Pastor Charlie's faith. Try living it out. And it's challenging. This is what Paul tells Timothy. Timothy, it's not fighting the enemies. It's not appointing leaders that will take up the thing. After you appoint leaders, it's done. You follow first round. They realize, well, this guy cannot be taken easily. It's done. But in example, it's never done. It is never done. Is it? You see what I'm trying to say? It's so hard to be. But there it is. There is our challenge. Be an example. And we can thank God for what we have seen. Now, here we go. Next part of it. The next part of it seems easy. Chapter 4 and verse 13. Okay? So we're in love, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Okay, that part is easy. It's very straightforward. Then Paul says, till I come, I want you to give attention to, and we read here, to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Right? That sounds so simple, except it is not. If you read the Greek text very carefully, you begin to realize that every single one of them has an article in front of it. Do you realize this? It is not, I want to read novels. I love novels. That I read all those novels. Sorry, it is prescribed reading. That's the challenge. Timothy, you are not even free to choose what you want to do. And a lot of times people feel, well, I want to do it differently. So after Pastor Charlie has gone, I want to do it differently. Sorry, you can't. The reading is prescribed the scriptures. What else? To the exhortation. Not just exhortation, to the exhortation. There is a way of doing it. Do it right. Do it the right way. It's not just doing it, but doing it right. That's what we mean by using the use of the article. And then to the teaching. Not just teaching. I can teach whatever I like. I like to angle it any way I like. Disagree. It is the teaching. There is Paul's way of teaching. This is when Paul tells Timothy, be an example. Why? Because he was an example. That's how he works. When he tells reading the scriptures, Paul tells Timothy, guess what, Timothy, do the same thing. When I tell you, talk about exhortation, guess what? You got to do the same thing. This is the challenge. So when people say they want to serve the Lord, we have to ask ourselves, the next generation, do you understand what you're saying? It's taken us 40 years to establish this pattern, this example, this kind of ministry. We're not going to hand over the church to just people who want do whatever they like. It's prescribed. The doctrine, the exhortation, this is the way to do it. This is why many churches don't survive. Over in the West, the seminaries survive, they always say, only 25 years. One generation to bring up 25 years, the next generation is gone. Churches have gone the same way. And all because they have not paid attention to the little thing called an article. The article is critically important. Give attention to the reading, to the exhortation. Can you see this? It is specific. In other words, there was a way in which Paul taught. The content of what Paul taught was established. And Paul tells Timothy, this is what he wants you to do, to the teaching. Otherwise, it is just heteros teaching, wrong teaching, false teaching. And when churches do not want to follow the Lord's way, they become what we call hybrid churches. They follow whatever they wish. And they say, this is a modern way of doing it. We live in the 21st century, therefore this is our excuse. We would have missed the point of 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is our challenge. Can we give thanks for this? Can we thank God for this? I think the answer is absolutely yes. Okay? How do we know that we can succeed in these things here? Well, here we go. Verse 14, 15, 16 gives us a clue. Okay? This is so important. And Paul tells Timothy, you must not neglect the gift that is in you. Oh, I remember asking the Lord, and I said to the Lord, on the 40th anniversary, and this was August, sitting at the front pew as I usually do, and I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, it would be wonderful if you were to give me a gift. And this gift, I want to write poetry. Little did I know what that meant. Now it is several hundred poems later. And everyone is demanding. Everyone must be carefully crafted for truth's sake. And I cannot neglect. You have a gift from God. You are bound to not neglect the gift. Do not neglect this gift. You got no choice. So I keep on developing it. While I want to write for children, then let me develop this. Let me be committed to Scripture, again, the truth. But let me write it differently. But I am deeply committed. Do not neglect this gift. Okay? Now, go on further. Verse 15. So important for us to understand. And here Paul tells Timothy, meditate on these things. Wow. Most people, when they meditate, they sleep. Okay, let's 1, 2, 3 meditate. Oh, you're tired. In other words, think. One of the saddest things about pastors a lot of times is that they fail to think a long time ago. And the thinking is all in the books that they've read, and that's all the thinking that they ever do. Cultivates the mind. It's sad when people finish university and they stop reading. And they stop learning. They stop growing. Stop cultivating the mind. You can't. So Paul tells Timothy, literally, meditate is literally to cultivate your mind. Give yourself entirely to them. That's the idea. Okay? Completely. Give yourself that it may be obvious to all. It's really quite challenging to want to write. You know, so when I, year 2000, I began writing. It's easy to, well, I want to write. Lord, I want to write. Ah, sounds so nice, right? You want to write. Really? It's been 14 years now. Every year, at least a book or two. Now, add to that a poem book or two. And you know what? You cannot neglect. The standard cannot go down. The accuracy cannot go down. The commitment to write better all the time cannot go down. Give yourself entirely to them. This is being an example. So if you want to serve the Lord, ponder these thoughts. This is what it means to serve the Lord properly. Okay, so that whatever it is, it will be manifest to all. You know, nobody will ever tell a pastor what is right, what is wrong. This is why verse 16, Paul ends up. Take heed to yourself. Did you say something wrong? Nobody's going to tell you. One, they wouldn't dare to. One is not polite to. And this is where a lot of pastors, they endanger themselves. The greater challenge is really to take heed, look after yourself and to your doctrine, to the doctrine. Again here, the doctrine, the teachings. And then he says, continue in them. Now, what's the difference between abide and continue? It's actually the same. This is a strengthened word. Jesus says, abide in my love, abide in my word, in my teachings, right? Abide in me. Now, Paul uses a stronger word than the word abide. But same root word, continue. Have you learned how to abide? Continue. This is the whole challenge. Continue. You know, I have to look at myself, and sometimes people ask me, Pastor, are you going to continue? Epimeno, yes, I will continue. As long as the Lord gives me the grace and the strength, which means to say I am very, very, very stingy with my time. I have hardly any social life. I don't. It's all totally dedicated to the Lord's work, completely. So between church, family, that's about it. There's nothing else. Mostly church. And we are expected to continue in all of these things here. This is what it means to be an example. You see, other people after morning service go home. We're still here. And speaking as if I just started the day. And then you all go home. We're going to India. We're going to reach there at midnight, which is 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the Singapore time. And next day, we begin. To them, it's not just an anniversary service. It's a week of camp. And they ask me, what's the theme, Pastor? What's the theme? And I say, our theme is faith. The night only believe. Faith that has taken us 25 years to understand, to practice, to cultivate. Be an example. And I say these things to you because I look at how it was in the past. There were no, let's get a church quickly grow up. Nope. Be an example to all the pastors. Be an example. I still remember when the leaders there wanted to, it was customary. If there's a wedding, if there's anything, the pastors get fed first. Then the rest are served. So we say, Pastor, your table is there. I said, well, what table is there? In Burma, they do that too. So in India, I was there. And I said, what is this for? Oh, it's for the pastors to sit and they will serve us and all that. Good, please sit down. I will serve you. Huh? You will serve us? No, cannot be done. And we broke that tradition. You will serve. You are not there to be fed. Be an example. That one completely broken. There are lots of challenges like that. And so this pastor, is so hard. Because many of the pastors, you tell them at 5 o'clock, they'll come at 6 o'clock. Weddings are notorious. 4 o'clock wedding, they come at 6 o'clock. I'm not going to waste my time waiting for the bride to come. And who came late? The bridegroom. So I ask him, how come? He said, I need to dress. You need to put on a tie and jacket in 2 hours. You're kidding me. There we go. And they change too. And their word goes round. Pastor says 4 o'clock. Okay, 15 minutes can give. We've got to be there. So now, we tell them 4 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, they're there. Because they don't have watch. They don't have watches. They look at the sun. I think 4 o'clock, better go. You know, it is so wonderful. You teach by example rather than by rules and regulations. That is the most powerful way in which you can teach the Lord's Word. You want to tell people to pay attention to the reading of the Lord's Word, to exhortation, to the teachings and all that. Be that example first. Show me that you're doing it. And if you're not, why should I listen? Be that example. This is what Paul meant. And there is no choice about this. Let's do it. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to practice our faith in this very, very real way. Help us to be an example and ask you to bless us. Bless this offering that we give now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have a great hymn to talk about how we ought to be more like the Savior. Okay, and 284 is the hymn that we're going to sing together. And may we sing this with our heart truly desiring to be more like our Savior. 284. Let's rise as we sing this together.